Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: another gospel or a different gospel. Chapter 8. No matter the extension, amplitude, structuring, or institutionalization of the other gospels, they will never be a real gospel. Although we cannot know this from the scriptures, when Paul wrote to the Christians in Galatians about the caution they should exercise concerning the propositions of other gospels because these other doctrines do not want to be identified as such, it is very likely that he himself did not know how crucial this exhortation would be for the centuries to come and how much the propositions of other gospels would spread throughout the world. On the other hand, after Paul mentioned that the purpose of his epistle was to alert the Christians in Galatians about a specific other gospel to which they were leaning their hearts, he makes a mention of generic rejection of any other gospel that anyone might try to propose at any time or place, turning its instruction into teaching applicable in all similar situations and for any times. Galatians 1:6-10. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ, to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men, or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Looking at the history after Christ's coming in the flesh into the world, his death on the cross of Calvary, and his resurrection, it is impressive to see the high number of variations and extensions of propositions of other gospels that have emerged until the present day. Nevertheless, no matter how great the extension, breadth, structuring, or institutionalization of other gospels are, they will always be distorted and conflicting with the true gospel, for what makes them fit into the set so-called another or different gospels is not the size, extension, or structuring they reach, but the essence of what they propose in their contents, doctrines, or teachings. The other gospels, which try to appear to be the true gospel and called as the true gospel, can never equal the true one, for the seed from which they are generated does not come from the same source of the genuine gospel. And a seed from a corrupt source cannot produce uncorrupted fruit. Luke 6:44. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. In addition, after Paul alerts people about the possibility that propositions of other gospels will be presented in the world, he does not let them only at the level of this information, but also goes on to discuss the criteria that can be used to validate propositions that are made as supposedly being the gospel of the Lord. Through the epistle to the Galatians, as well as by the other epistles, Paul teaches Christians about how central it is for them to be grounded in the truth and understanding what is true, which is one of the main points for a Christian not to be fascinated or entangled by what appears to be true, but which underneath is distorted, vile, or wicked. In this way, we may realize that it is through the fragile knowledge and understanding that many people have about the essential points of the gospel of God that the propositions of other gospels seek to infiltrate with their various deceitful ways or actions. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. For a Christian to be on guard against the devil's vile and cunning attacks through the ostentation of other gospels, it is necessary for the Christian to know the one true Jesus more closely, to know the only Spirit of truth sent to him or her by Christ, and to know the fundamental aspects of the true gospel that the Lord offers and gives to an individual by grace and through faith in God. Hosea 6, 3. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning, he will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We also remember here that the essence of eternal life is to personally know the Heavenly Father and the Christ He sent into the world so that those who believe in Him may be saved and receive God's novelty of life through Him. John 17, 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. 1 John 5, 11. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It is with God, through fellowship with the Lord, or through being in Christ that a person should look for a safe place to keep oneself protected against the attacks of darkness that seek to present themselves even through propositions that pretend to be the gospel of God. Thus, no one should be afraid to pray and ask God if something that is being proposed to him or her is indeed according to the will of the kingdom of God for one's life. 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And one of the first signs that often also manifests the presence of propositions of other gospels is related to the proposals of some people willing to mediate others in their relationship with God, directly contradicting what was unequivocally and explicitly established by the Lord in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2, 5-6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Hebrews 8, 11. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Isaiah 54, 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Matthew 11, 28-29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Therefore, when propositions of spiritual subjection of people to priests, pastors, bishops, spiritual guides, or human leaders are offered to an individual, or any other variation that wants to interpose or mediate each person's direct relationship with Christ, it is an opportune time to bear witness that God only granted this position of primacy or preeminence to Christ Jesus. Matthew 23, 8-10. But you, do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, or guides or leaders, for one is your teacher, or guide, the Christ. No matter how elaborate a structure that claims to offer spiritual coverage or protection to the members that associate with it is, or no matter how large the number of ministers that it offers is to try to provide this type of service of coverage, it will always be operating in the sphere of the proposition of other gospels, and not of the gospel of Christ, since Christ did not authorize anyone to be spiritual covering of one's fellow men. nor to create structures and institutions for this purpose. Christ is the one or unique head that the Heavenly Father establishes over each individual member of his body of many members and equally over the entire body collectively speaking, as addressed extensively in the subject on the Gospel of the Glory of God and the Glory of Christ. In God's Gospel, Christ is all and in all. And when a proposition wants to present that what God has established is no longer sufficient, a proposal of another or different gospel is trying to stand up there against Christ. Colossians 3:10-11. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Furthermore, it does not matter how many members a structure or institution raised by people may have, how many resources it accumulates, how many places it reaches. Once it, even partially, departs from the simplicity of the proposition of each person's direct relationship with Christ, it manifests itself as a proposition of other gospels and that will end up leaning, contrary to the gospel of Christ, towards the path of attributing value to the justification of people through adherence to this structure and the works it requires of its members. Whether from meetings in homes, or the association with an extensive network of buildings and temples, if a proposition presented is under the concept that some people have more right of access to God than others and have more privileges to represent others to God or God to them, the seed or leaven of the so-called other gospels is already infiltrated and operating in this context. When people need to associate themselves with some natural and horizontal structure or group to be able to properly relate to God, which is symbolized in the scriptures as circumcision, and when it is said that direct faith in Christ is no longer sufficient for fellowship with the Lord through the Holy Spirit, the tentacles of the propositions of other gospels are already evident. And the idea of another Jesus, another Spirit, and another gospel is trying to take the place of what belongs exclusively to Christ, the Spirit of the Lord, and the gospel of God. Christ came to manifest the work that God longs for all people to do, namely, once again. John 6:29. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." John 4:21-23-26. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain, nor in Jerusalem, worship the Father. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." John 16:13. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Romans 8:14-16. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Those who open their hearts to know the true way more closely, or better, to be taught and guided by the Lord in the way of eternal salvation and newness of life, will not go astray from it, for the only and true Jesus will be for each one the only and true shepherd. And so, it no longer depends only on people's ability to walk rightly in the way of eternal life, but on the power that Christ has to support and correctly lead every person who trusts in him. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Psalms 34, 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is the man who trusts in him. Psalms 23, 1, a. The Lord is my shepherd.